We got breaking news. Nancy Pelosi announces retirement.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. We got a packed show, actually. We're going to be talking a lot about the work of the ACLJ today. There's been some big wins, some big successes. And of course, there's been some breaking news coming out of even the world of air travel as the U.S. has planned to reduce flight traffic by 10%. What that's going to look like as America still deals with the shutdown. But the breaking news of the morning, and I guess probably a lot of you are going to sit here. There's going to be a lot of maybe applause. I look forward to seeing that. In the chat, if you're watching on YouTube, but that's right. You heard it here. After how many years, Will?
38 years in Congress. So since I was,
one and a half, 2 years old.
Was when she was first elected in a special election.
So headed towards two, almost 2 years old. That's right. From San Francisco, Nancy Pelosi has announced she will not seek re-election. Now, she's probably got a couple years left.
Next year, remember, midterms. We have the midterm elections next year.
We have a midterm coming
year.
Up next year. So she'll make it almost to 40 years.
That's right. So it'll be her 39th year in Congress. She was elected in a special election. So her 20th term is what she is in, but she was not in for a full term there.
I wish she could have made
election.
It to the 40. You know, like when someone retires, they're like, come back and be a Yankee for the night.
Yeah.
Freddie, you know, come over.
I see, yesterday you were saying, I wish Zoran Mandani well, and today you're saying, man, I just wish she could have gotten 40 years. I think 38 years in Congress for Nancy Pelosi, America's had enough.
I like round numbers. That's really what it is. Phone lines are open for you. Of course, though, this does open up what is going to look like in San Francisco, a city that has gone through a lot over the last few years, really. Really, in the last 5 to 10 years, you've seen massive changes in San Francisco. Not politically, I would say it's probably still as liberal as it's ever been. But of course, they've had a lot of struggles. You've had major retailers pull out of the city. So many things happened due to crime. I know that they have been working on it. There's been a big push to get things cleaned up. But I think we got to look there. Of course, it's California. It is going to probably go to the Democrat, whoever it may be. But does San Francisco decide to stick with someone, this is going to sound crazy, as moderate as Nancy Pelosi? Or do they decide to take a cue from what's going on in New York, in New York City, and go for someone more on that socialist line? I will not be shocked when the latter becomes reality. What do you think? Are you watching, by the way, from anywhere in that area? I always say this, you know, you may live in San Francisco, but they are still, especially in different regions in Northern California, not just San Francisco, the city, that are, you know, there are a lot of conservatives out there, a lot of Christians out there, a lot of good people. And again, much like New York City, is one of those top five cities people think of when they think of America worldwide. They think of Los Angeles, New York, maybe somewhere in
Chicago.
Chicago, maybe somewhere in Texas, like a cowboy type thing, Dallas. And they probably think of San Francisco because of, you know, the visuals and the Golden Gate Bridge and the full houses of the world. You think of those things that have become part of Americana that has been exported. Now, when you visit San Francisco, it's a much different place than it has been. I'm sure it kind of probably was like New York, where I have a feeling like the 60s, we all know what happened there in the 60s. Then it got through sort of the seedy 70s and 80s, had a rebirth in the 90s and the 2000s. And then so much so the last time I was there 2 or 3 years ago, you know, there's signs everywhere to say, make sure to roll down your windows when you park and take everything out of your car, because if not, they will bash your window out and steal it. So you don't want that. You don't want your car window bashed out. So roll down the windows. You know, we're going to all be taking our stereos out like we did in the 90s.
The faceplate.
Our aftermarket faceplates. You know, you're part of that generation. Let's see if that relates to anyone who's watching right now. But I want to hear from you. Phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. What do you think about this? Is this a sign of the times? You know, I didn't think we'd ever probably see a day where Nancy Pelosi decided it was time. But maybe, you know, yeah, there's been a lot of heat on her for maybe she wants to keep investing. So who knows? 1-800-684-3110. Have your voice heard today on the air. Of course, the ACLJ is right now starting to wrap up our first week of our freedom drive. And the attacks on faith and freedom, they're not going anywhere. They've been growing. And we're going to talk about that from one that happened in Hawaii. But you know what? The ACLJ got a win in that. And that is what we fight for. We fight for wins, not just for cases. We'll be right back. just heard in the break, if you're watching on YouTube or Rumble, a clip from Steve Doocy who talked directly to President Trump. Let's see if we can find that comment. Peter Doocy, his father. You know, son of Doocy. It's a pretty funny clip. I mean, look, President Trump is President Trump. Let's just say he's not thrilled, or he's very happy that Nancy Pelosi is stepping down. There's also a clip from Mike Johnson who said essentially that should be a wake-up call to everybody that Nancy Pelosi at 85 years old, you know, it's San Francisco liberal, not liberal enough for where the party stands right now. I think that was interesting from him. Obviously, she can retire. I don't think anybody feels like she didn't put in her proper time after 39 years in this. And of course, so much times, so long as the speaker. Of course, President Trump focuses a bit on his her impeachments of him. And of course, remember the tearing up the speech at the end of the State of the Union, all of the theatrics that went with it. I would like to, well, there's a call coming in who's an ACLJ champion. I always like to take champions first. It is a bit off topic, but let's go ahead and take Kerry Montana. An ACLJ champion, by the way, is somebody who supports the work of the ACLJ on a monthly recurring basis, like a membership. They sign up, say they make a one-time donation, and then they opt in to give monthly automatically. Of course, you can cancel anytime. All donations are tax deductible. We really appreciate people like Kerry. And when you do call in, a lot of times I try to get your calls on the air quickly, try to bump you up to the front. Even if a call is a little off topic, we still could take it. Let's go to Kerry in Montana.
Thank you, Logan. I appreciate it. My call is regarding the senators being wiretapped and targeted and the fraud, wire fraud that's going on. What do little people like me do when that happens to us? The American Center for Law and Justice, I've contacted them about this. And can you guys give me a number, a phone call, a letter, something to me that will help me? I'm in dire straits. My life could be at stake because I'm a whistleblower over child traffickers. And they're right here in my town right now.
Yeah, Kerry, you know, I don't know the details of your situation. I'll put you on hold and we'll get your contact. I know that most of the time you just have to go to the website, go to aclj.org/help, and you get attached to a lawyer. Now, if it's not a specific case that's within our interest, we can maybe refer you out or talk to somebody else, but they'll get back to you. If you go to, for anyone, by the way, if you're watching right now, if you need legal help and it's within our scope, you go to aclj.org. And in the next segment, you're going to hear about one that was right in our scope and exactly what we do here and how quickly were we able to handle it. Go to aclj.org/help. And that gets you all that gives the lawyer all the information they need to then determine who you need to talk to and all that. It's the reason there's not a specific phone number or anything like that. We'd be answering those calls all day long. We don't have a big, phone bank of random people. You know, a lot of those big law firms you see on TV, a lot of that's just going to a phone bank somewhere and they'll get back to you. Our online system actually gets you directly to people in our legal staff and our lawyers immediately.
Right. And you will get a response, either here's how we can help or a reason why it's outside the scope or the expertise of those attorneys.
Two,
But I want to get back to Nancy Pelosi, because when we look at what now will happen in San Francisco, there will be a primary, I assume, a pretty aggressive primary of people that want to fill that seat that is leaving a power vacuum in Washington. I mean, when someone has held a seat for almost 40 years, that seat also has the prestige of someone who was the Speaker of the House twice. Someone is going to want to get in there. Now, it does leave a power vacuum in Washington, D.C. for many reasons. Even though she no longer was in her leadership role as the party leader, the minority leader in this case, as they don't hold the majority of the House, but previously twice as Speaker of the House, the only female speaker in our history was Nancy Pelosi.
That's pretty wild.
It leaves a power vacuum. You remember, you know that image of her tearing up the State of the Union. You also think of how much power she wielded in Congress in being able to negotiate with the Senate and get things done for her agenda, as well as she was the major factor in pushing out President Biden, who she had a long-term friendship with and long-term relationship with, when he was running for re-election in this past election cycle. Even though she was no longer the leader of the party, she was still de facto leader of the party. She wasn't necessarily what Hakeem Jeffries is, where he's going out and making all the statements, but this is a lot of power that will be opening up for, you will see jockeying for position within the party, within the House of Representatives, with her presence gone. That's where the big question comes. Not just in that primary in San Francisco, because that will be a new member of Congress. They won't have the power on the committees and things as
much. They won't have 20 terms behind them.
But what you will see in Congress is who's stepping up to fill that power vacuum. Will it be a more clear-headed, moderate-style Democrat? No. What you're going to see is you're going to see those forces within the party, the AOCs, the squad type, rush to fill the power vacuum within Congress by taking over internally the mechanisms. Because Nancy Pelosi's legacy, beyond legislation passed and beyond being the Speaker of the House, is the way that she commanded the control of her party in the House of Representatives.
Yeah, American
and
icon.
That's things you don't even see in the public eye. You see things reported on, but it is a big hole in Democrat politics on the Hill.
I mean, clearly it seems to at least partially control the presidency at that moment.
Exactly.
I mean, you got to think that is not something small. So, of course, this is going to be interesting to see who steps in there. Of course, this does open up the idea of, are we going to eventually see the Senate and see term limited? Are we going to see those things ever come up? I see those comments a lot right now. You know what? Give me your thoughts. What do you think? I could see positives and negatives for both reasons. I want to know from you, the caller, 1-800-684-3110, the ones who are watching right now, because now you're saying, well, if Nancy Pelosi's gone, then we need to call for this person to be gone, or McConnell to be gone. You see those comments coming through. Now, Father Time is undefeated. So for some of these, it will get there inevitably, and I think that's what we're seeing with Nancy Pelosi. Let's go ahead and take a call. Let's go to Kevin, who is calling on line 2, watching on the Salem News Channel. Another great place to watch us, by the way, on the Salem News Channel every day live. Go ahead.
Oh, I don't watch you. I listen to you. I'm blind. But I was talking about Nancy Pelosi. I said a lot of them leave from Hollywood and come into government. She's leaving government and go into Hollywood because she's going to be on the tails of the corrupt. She's going to be the leader on it.
And
she should team up with her brother, Chucky Doll Schumer, because they could make a hell of a show because he stuck a knife in Biden's back.
No, it's fine. Kevin, we appreciate you calling in. You know what? Maybe she decides I'm moving to Hollywood. She's going to go for the bright lights and the glamour, but she'll be 87 years old. So, you never know. Hollywood
That's
keeps
what
you
we're
young.
Seeing, though, maybe her last act of leadership within her party,
a Netflix deal,
will be something where you see a mass exodus of people who have maybe been in Congress way too long. That's been a complaint about career politicians from many people. That's where even you can somewhat blame or credit that system to what gives rise to someone like President Trump, an outsider, someone who hasn't spent his entire life on government payroll, being a public servant. And I think you can also point to what is so attractive to young people about someone like the new mayor of New York. Take away all the policy. It is the way he talks is about doing work for the people. Whether or not his policies are grounded in sound, we know they're not. They're Marxist policies.
Right.
They don't work.
But you're talking
they're failed
to new,
experiments.
You're talking to new blood.
But you're talking to people who didn't grow up during the Cold War, didn't grow up seeing all these failed experiments. And they're hearing someone talking that has never been a public servant. He's very young. And is talking about putting the government to work for people. Now, I believe and know that conservative ideals and ideology and programs and policy is better for people when put in place and done correctly. And the Republicans have a big problem about being able to talk about it in a way that people will understand that free market economics
right.
and that our liberties that we hold so dear in our Constitution, is the government protecting those? And when they are, it is for the people. It is a government working for that. But when you have people like Nancy Pelosi that are 85 years old currently, that she, once again, she's taking that step to say, it's time for me to retire. Will there be a sea change where on both sides of the aisle, you see people move forward and say, it's time for me to go. And then it gets fresh blood in there, young people who can maybe speak better about how our ideology, our values are better for the people in getting government back to work for people instead of the other way around.
Yeah, I think you will see that. A new wave of a new generation of people who understand how to talk to the online audience, who really understand, who grew up in the internet age. You got to think, when she joined the Senate, there was still a decade away from when most of us, Earth's House, most of us had internet in our homes. I mean, that's just the truth. That's where we're at. She's just now stepping down. But now you have, like you said, the New York City mayor being someone who is quite a bit younger than us, grew up in this generation. I sent Will a video last night ago. This is one of the reasons he won. It was, hey, answering questions from your conservative family members. And it was very compelling. It was not anything I agree with, but I watched it and said, this is how he did it. This is how he won. And he said, hey, I'm the mayor to everybody. I'm the mayor even to your conservative family members. You're going to have a different generation talking a different way. 1-800-684-3110. President Trump speaking his way still, though. We'll play that when we get back. Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you, and I want to hear you specifically through the next half hour at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. But I want to quickly move to some successes and some new cases involved in the ACLJ. Because look, our show exists for a few different reasons. Sure, we're going to educate you, inform you on what's going on in the news today. We're going to talk about the top stories. We're going to give you our point of view. We're going to give you all the facts. But also, the reason this show exists is to also showcase and highlight the work of the American Center for Law and Justice, the ACLJ, which has been fighting for your religious freedom for the last 35 years. Really more so than even 35 years. I want to take us right now to Hawaii, and that is because there has been a victory that has come out of Hawaii. You may remember this. We did some blogs on it. We've been talking about it. It's been, you know, it was not a super long, drawn-out case. Sometimes these take months. Sometimes they take years, but sometimes you actually have a school board who has some sense, a Department of Education that has some sense out of Hawaii. This is what happened. I'll give you sort of the brief breakdown, and then we're going to bring in one of our attorneys, Nathan, who worked on this case. But essentially, a teacher was talking to her students. This was shortly after the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and they started talking about political assassinations and the discussions about that at hand. And it came up, and people were going back and forth about it. She started talking about, hey, what are some other political assassinations, things that have happened like this that you think of, that people were shot or murdered for their you know, for their political views or for their speech. And, you know, someone brought up an Abraham Lincoln, someone brought up John F. Kennedy, and then someone brought up the attempted assassination of President Trump. I want to say someone, I mean a child, a student. A student then responded with something to the effect of, yeah, but that wouldn't have been a bad thing. And all this teacher did was correct that and say, you know what? That is not how we do things here. That is not a nice thing to say, essentially. We don't do that in America. And that was enough for some other parents to get very upset, Will.
That's right. And we have now Nathan Molker, who is one of our attorneys out of D.C., joining us. Because Nathan, this teacher was brought into a large meeting with the entire social studies department, and then also had a separate meeting where they were reprimanded. There was a memo placed in their file, their official record about this, and they were told that they would be disciplined and students would be disciplined if controversial speech were not suppressed within the classroom. The ACLJ went right to action. We wrote a very strong letter to the Department of Education of Hawaii. And tell our audience, one, what we argued, why we knew that this was wrong, and what that response we got back from the Department of Education was.
Sure. So Logan mentioned how quickly this one moved, and that was definitely the case here. Our letter was only sent October 16th, and we just got this response from the Hawaii Department of Education. And so what we unpacked in this letter here is that this teacher was really left in a difficult and an impossible position. She's a history teacher, and she's being told not to teach anything that might be controversial. And of course, as a history teacher, everything might be controversial to somebody. And all she was trying to do was just acknowledge the simple fact that Charlie Kirk was murdered, and to use that, as any teacher should, as an opportunity to teach her students. So because of that, because of simply trying to teach her students about the Constitution, ironically enough, she was reprimanded. And of course, they tried to dance around it. Oh, we're not calling this a reprimand. We're calling it a statement of understanding. We're calling it this. We're calling it that. But when she pressed them and said, okay, what is this document and why is it going into my personnel file? They explained, well, it's in case we need to discipline you later. And so what is so exciting with this response we received from the Hawaii Department of Education late last night is, as the first part of their response, they rescinded that document. They rescinded that summary of conference. And so therefore, that action has been taken out of her personnel file. And this whole situation where she was blamed just for teaching the Constitution to her students has been corrected, and she has had that right restored, really, by this acknowledgement from the Hawaii Department of Education. It really represents a major victory for her rights to speak.
And what I love about this, Nathan, also is that the in this letter that we received from the Hawaii Department of Education, which we took it all the way to the top, and is that not only did they take those actions saying it's removed from the employee's file and giving us the assurance no adverse action has been taken or would have been taken, so future looking against our client, but they also admit and show within their own Board of Education policies how the discussion in the classroom is actually okay and appropriate under their own policies and under the Hawaii Board of Education.
Yes, exactly. They use language here. I'll read it. Both the policy and regulation allow for classroom discussions of matters which generate opposing viewpoints and are not intended to suppress spontaneous student discussion during approved lesson plans. And that's, of course, exactly the kind of thing we were arguing in our letter, that a teacher or students, for that matter, shouldn't be punished for saying something controversial. Our letter was sent on behalf of this teacher, but one of the things we talked about in the letter is the rights of the students involved, right? That a student who simply acknowledged something we all know, that Charlie Kirk was murdered for what he said, that students are now having their speech threatened too, right? And so this language, it's brief, but this language in their letter is a really powerful acknowledgement of the rights of both students and teachers to talk about important things like the murder of Charlie Kirk. And you mentioned that we took it right to the top. We were really pleased to see this letter came to us signed by the superintendent of education for the state of Hawaii. So essentially, the head education official for the state of Hawaii responded to our letter and sent us this response. We think that really represents them taking this seriously. And of course, Hawaii is a very blue state, right? And so we're really encouraged to see that our letter got this attention and our letter got the response that it did. It really represents vindication for our client and vindication for her students.
Nathan, thank you so much for joining us on this. We're going to talk about this other issue. We're going to just tease it out because we'll get to it probably either later in the show or tomorrow. But that's a big victory. But these victories, you always know there's another case right behind it. And we actually have a case out of New York where a student wanted to have a Jesus club. Once again, it seems like this is popping up all over. And they told the student that even though there's plenty of secular groups, that the Jesus club was not inclusive enough and that people of other faiths could be offended. And so what are we doing? We sent a demand letter today because we have the law on our side, and the ACLJ actually won the Supreme Court cases that allow for that. So we're going to get more into that later, but we're on to the next case already.
That's right, we are. And the ACLJ never shuts down, unlike the government here. And the attacks on faith and freedom, as I said, never seem to go away. They're growing. And right now, like you said, we just had a victory in Hawaii that was great. And now we are moving back to doing cases, even when we have to. Look, this set of law here. This is a Bible club, essentially. A Jesus club, if you will. And that somehow is too egregious for New York. No. That Jesus club, you got to invite people who don't believe in Jesus. You got to invite people who have different beliefs than you. It's absolutely ridiculous. We're going to talk about that a lot more as we move on. But those are the kind of issues, whether that is the worldwide issues that we deal with on a daily basis, whether it's our offices in Europe, our offices in Jerusalem, our offices here in Washington, D.C. and Nashville, Tennessee. But of course, we are representing all 50 states. Whether it feels like it could be a small issue for you, it is not for us. If you ever need help, you go to aclj.org/help, but we can only do that with your support. So as we end this first half hour, I need you to go to aclj.org, make a donation of any kind today, and your donation will be doubled. That's right. It's our Freedom Drive. Be a part of it. Second half hour coming right up at ACLJ.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. We have one line open right now, folks. One line at 1-800-684-3110. I'll tell you, I got a lot of people watching on the Salem News Channel today, so I don't know what's going on. Maybe you guys just are tuning in saying this is the kind of stuff we want to hear about, Logan. Nancy Pelosi stepping down, announcing her retirement, not stepping down, announcing her retirement at the end of term.
Right.
She's got to make it to 88 to do this. Can't be, 85's not young enough to be stepping down.
That math doesn't math well,
Logan.
Well,
just shush it.
All right.
Okay? Just shush it. All your donations are doubled. All of our ages are doubled.
Okay.
It's what it is right now. That's at ACLJ.org right now if you make a donation during our Freedom Drive. We have a lot of phone calls coming in. I want to get to as many of those as I can in this back half because it's going to be packed. In the next segment, we're also not only going to talk about Nancy Pelosi, and I see a lot of you calling in about Mom Dami. We're going to keep that discussion open because I think actually all of the calls, it looked like, appear to be 4 out of 5 are on that topic. We'll open up the doors for it. Why not? We understand you're interested in what's going on in New York City. We do have one line open, though, at 1-800-684-3110. In the next segment, we're also going to continue the discussion on the government shutdown and how it's about to have a major impact on flights. Of course, we know that they have had a major backups, but now we are going to see a decrease in the amount of flights that are going to be allowed. So you're going to see a lot of cancellations happen at some of the biggest airports in the country. So if you're traveling over the next few weeks, which I know a lot of you will be, keep very close attention to it. I'll be as well. A lot of us will be traveling over the holidays. Thanksgiving coming up. Keep an eye on that because it is going to be interesting. Another one of those consequences of this continual shutdown that we are all ready to see come to an end and hopefully quickly, though it doesn't feel like there is an end in sight. Let's go ahead and we have 3 minutes. Let's take a call to hopefully get us to our next segment. Let's go to Malcolm in Washington, who's an ACLJ champion. Some of the gives on a monthly basis automatically. Malcolm, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I have not heard enough in terms of Mom Dami, terms like Manchurian candidate or Trojan horse. When something looks unusual, you kind of step and say, okay, why is this unusual?
Yeah, Malcolm, you dropped off there. I think there were some connection difficulties, but you're saying you're worried about who's funding and who is behind Mom Dami because you seemingly came out of nowhere, was a rapper, has really held any positions, and now all of a sudden is the mayor of one of the biggest cities on planet Earth. Well, I haven't dove deep into this, but of course we know where a lot of the backing is coming from.
Well, and once again, when you see the policies that he put forward, it was very attractive to some of the very far left donors that want to see that become more mainstream within the United States. There have been a lot of stories written about funding of him. There's been people that were under investigation that were family members of him that sent donations in that don't live in the country, which is not legal. But it wasn't like a widespread thing as much as far as we know. But I think a lot of people that are far left saw a moment to seize upon and poured dollars into that race after he won that primary because he came out of nowhere and he struck a chord and he did politics differently and he reached out to younger voters and he used TikTok and social media and talked about things that sound good on paper or sound good on social media. And when affordability, especially in a city like New York, is a top concern, no matter what your political ideology is, it struck a chord with people. And then that's when all the dollars started to flow in.
And of course, we should have looked at that primary and really said this is the end. And it's the end because look at who they put up to run against him. No offense to Cuomo, no offense to Sliwa. Both of them, very accomplished people with track records and success stories. But both, specifically with Cuomo, who again, I think would have done a much better job and went much better for a lot of us. You look at it and go, we have spent years and years now talking about the failures of him, all the issues he's had, personally and professionally. And now they expected a bunch of people to rally behind him and vote for him. And look, they did. A lot of people did vote for him. The biggest independent voting base of all time was for Andrew Cuomo. Okay, that's nothing to laugh at. But of course, it was a pretty big, very decisive victory for Mom Dami. We're going to continue that discussion coming up. Again, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org, and we're going to talk about also the changes that are coming to flight traffic. And also, I want you to hear from President Trump as he made a statement to Ducey about Nancy Pelosi. Welcome back to Secular. Phone lines are completely jammed, which is great. That means we've struck a chord as well. Well, you tell people Nancy Pelosi's retiring, they call in, but not about that. They call in about other things. The mayor of New York City. Why don't we go ahead and take some phone calls? Why not? A lot of you have been on hold for quite some time. Actually, before we do that, as one line just opened up, I've been teasing President Trump. I had something to say about Nancy Pelosi. A few of you said, Logan, you haven't played it. I keep forgetting to play it. Let's go ahead and play it. This, again, is Peter Ducey talking about that he just chatted with President Trump. This is moments ago.
Yes, and I just chatted with President Trump about this breaking news that Nancy Pelosi will be leaving Washington. He tells me the following, and this is a quote. The retirement of Nancy Pelosi is a great thing for America. She was evil, corrupt, and only focused on bad things for our country. She was rapidly losing control of her party, and it was never coming back. I'm very honored. She impeached me twice and failed miserably twice. Nancy Pelosi is a highly overrated politician.
Yeah. I mean, that is...
No one can say it like he can.
I mean, you say it like an angry, you know, ex-girlfriend online, you know, just being like, just mad that your former boyfriend went to jail. I mean, that's right. Kind of how it feels. It's like this, he deserves it, here's why. What a,
good
the quote
riddance.
Was, the retirement is great. Evil, corrupt, and only focused on bad things for our country. Not, we disagreed vehemently on all topics. That's what, you know, a normal
but that's
politician
what
would
like
say.
About him,
people wanted to
truthful.
Hear, she impeached me twice, failed miserably, which she did. Impeach him twice, and of course, look what happened. He was reelected to the United States by an overwhelming margin. Now we will see sort of the ramifications of some of that coming up in the next election. I'm sure there will be a new website up on thewhitehouse.gov that's some parody for Nancy Pelosi leaving. As we've seen that website go, you know, hog wild. It's been, it feels like, it's been, you'll send me links and I go, this can't be real. And it's like, yes, we've made a MySpace tribute page to Democrats called My Safe Space. And where is it? It's on the White House's official website. We live a bit in this cartoon land.
I do love,
some of it I love.
I do love that all those things are now official government records and have to be kept like in the National Archives because of laws that govern things like
Grandpa,
that.
What was it like during the Trump administration? Well, there was a website.
It was a fake MySpace.
What's a MySpace? Well, it was appealing to the 40-year-olds who were voting. They had to tell you about this time. We used to log in and we used to do HTML code to make our website sparkle.
You could have fun moving backgrounds and your favorite songs playing.
All your songs. And eight of your friends. your top eight friends. All right, let's move on. I don't know what we're moving on to, but we're going to move on.
I'm getting sweaty now.
I got the vapors. Well, let's go ahead and take a phone call
here.
You want
to take a phone call? I was going to also bring up this government shutdown issue. No, but you don't want to.
I don't want to. I'm done with the shutdown, Will. Let's go to Kay. Okay. You're on the air. K in
Minnesota, calling on line two.
MN always bothers me. Sometimes I want to say Maine.
That's ME.
I know that, but you know what? I can't think that fast. Say watch it on Sam News Channel. I like that better. K, go ahead.
Hello. Hi. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Yes. My question is, with the next presidential election, if it could be put on the same ballot, that it would require all of Congress to be forced to allow them to do what they're telling us we have to do.
Yeah, good luck, Kay. I mean that with tremendous amount of respect and tremendous amount of love. You'd think it would be. They would have to follow the laws like we have to follow, but no, it's do as I say, not as I do. And we have learned that time and time again, including right now during the government shutdown.
Right.
Which we'll see, Will, this tied in. Because the government shutdown, they still getting paid.
Exactly. While their staff, their own staff is not getting paid. But what we're seeing, Kay, is that the self-serving nature of many people in Congress is, and that's the irony, right? The people that say we want term limits, the people that would have to put in term limits for members of Congress would be those very members themselves
ending
having to
careers,
limit their own ability to remain in Congress. Things like even the ban on stock trading and things like that. That is one thing that Nancy Pelosi was notorious for, was making a fortune in the stock market with things that appeared to be trades based off of things that she learned from her service to the country. There are things that would be great if you could see Congress want to adhere to. However, they don't tend to writ large. Now, obviously, there's exceptions. We have very good friends that are in both the House and the Senate of the ACLJ that fight for our Constitution, fight for our freedoms. But you see many people that are there for the wrong reasons. They're self-serving.
I think, with the term limit situation, I can see both sides to it. It's sort of like the idea of having lifetime appointments to the Supreme Court of the United States, because it does keep maybe a checks and balances going on in theory. A little bit different Supreme Court, because obviously they're appointed and then that's it. But in this instance, I do understand it can't all just be the turn of the tide.
Well, and the argument against it is that every member of the House of Representatives is up for re-election every 2 years. Now, our party system has made it very hard to unseat someone who is a long-term incumbent, and gerrymandering as well. That has made a lot of these long-term incumbents entrenched in their district that are drawn perfectly to ensure that they remain in Congress for the next 40 or 50 years. So the argument from even the founders and framers is that the members of the House of Representatives, if you didn't go there and represent your constituents in the way they wanted you to, you're up for re-election very quickly. Like, almost as soon as you get there, you're thinking about re-election. Yeah. It's every 2 years. The president, you get four. You get a little bit longer to get an agenda done. And then the Senate is 6 years. There's a reason that all of these offices have different term lengths. And that is to, once, serve as a check on the way power is wielded, to almost disrupt some ways that they could coordinate together. And it is to have the people hold these individuals accountable at different periodic times. Now, as you mentioned, the way that government works, the way the party system works, the way that the money works has shifted the way that the power of the people to unseat an incumbent has played out over the last even modern era of individuals that you see, like Nancy Pelosi, who has been in there just shy of 40 years. That, especially even as a Speaker of the House, you no longer really are representing the interest of your district anymore. You have so much more going on. You would almost think that as far as a career perspective, that would be a negative. If you become Speaker, your time in Congress is almost done, because your people are like, you're not fighting for me anymore. You're out. Yeah. But that's not the way it's worked
a
in the past.
Speaker of the House was gerrymandering.
Gerrymandering.
Yeah, you know, he was the
he
old
was the first one who
during
came
the
up
Civil
with,
War gerrymandering. I feel like that's a feels like, all right, go ahead. I'm waiting on that joke. Didn't
well,
land.
All that to say, though, you even brought up the shutdown, and what we're seeing now,
what now?
Is that the FAA is saying that there is going to be a reduction in air traffic starting tomorrow at 4%. Reduction at 40 major airports across the country.
It also shows you, by the way, the power of the FAA that I didn't even know they could necessarily
right.
do this, well, which was to say, essentially, hey, private businesses, these airlines, sorry, you're going to have to cut. I mean, I think this is the little things that happen during this government shutdown we should all be aware of, because it actually does illuminate, not necessarily problems, but you start learning more. And you learn now the FAA can go in and do this. And what they're saying is 10% air traffic eventually is going to be down.
It starts at 4% tomorrow and builds slowly up to 10% reduction in air traffic next week by the time it tops out, if they haven't reopened the government. Why? Because people that are air traffic controllers that aren't getting paid, you know what they're doing? Not showing up to work.
Yeah,
they're calling out sick.
Understandable.
They're having excuses. I get it. They've got a lot of stress on them right now. You know what the FAA can't do? Hire a new employee. Because imagine that interview. Listen, you've got the qualifications. Looks great on paper. You've got the experience. We want you to be our next air traffic controller. Here's your theoretical salary. One day we'll pay you. Not now. You can't hire anybody. You can't do anything. So the pressure on the system is getting to a breaking point. And that's one thing you don't want to break is the air traffic.
Yeah, and you're seeing pressure come onto them. And there was a bomb threat in Washington, D.C. At the airport there just a few days ago that slowed down a lot of traffic. These kind of things happen, I'm sure, a lot already, and we just don't know about it because it became breaking news. And you heard, I listened to the FAA and them handling it. Was such smooth behavior, making sure everything was taken care of and the people were protected and safe during a threat like this. And it made me go, wow, these are some incredible people who are doing incredible jobs. And these people are doing it at $0 at this point. You know, and we got to fix this. This has got to come to an end soon. I know that everyone in Washington, D.C., just they probably don't feel the hurt that other people are feeling in terms of the people actually making the decision. But it's time to do that. When we get back, we're going to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. Because I like to take as many calls as we can. We got three lines open right now, and I'd love to hear from you. But more importantly, right now, we are the end of our first week of our Freedom Drive. You really helped us kick it off strong, but we need more support. And you're going to hear me talking about this for the rest of the month here. Not going to lie to you. We got a special week, though, next week. I'm excited about. Okay, if you're listening, you're going to want to tune in next week. It's going to be fun. It's going to be mixing it up a little bit. But for now, it's the Freedom Drive first week. Your donations are doubled right now. If you make your donation right now of $5, it becomes $10. If you make a donation of $100, it becomes $200. Because another great ACLJ member or champion is ready to open up and unlock their match as soon as yours comes in. So know you can double your impact right now at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back. Phone lines are completely jammed, so we're probably just gonna be able to take the calls that we have lined up right now. So if you're one to call in, we'll see if one line opens up, but likely not. So just stay on hold. If you're on hold, we'll get to you. Let's go to Rhonda, kick it off. Rhonda's watching on Facebook. Rhonda, go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to say that, first off, that I very much appreciate what you all do. Thank you. And I do support some. I have not become a champion yet, but I do support you some. On Mondami's speech that he was giving out to try to influence people to vote for him, I believe that that really appealed to the young people because they have grown up entitled. They think everything should have been handed to them on a silver platter. And when he said that he was going to just give them everything, then that's exactly what they wanted. And I think that is the fault of parents not raising their children the right way.
Rhonda, I agree with you in part for maybe some, but not for all of the voters, I'd say. Yes, I think the young people vote when you see how vastly it broke. But I don't know that that's the case for all of these voters, and here's why. When you think about New York City, the most expensive city in the country, which has gotten more expensive, especially under Biden policies where inflation, you were seeing 9 and 10% year over year consistently, the ability to live, leaving college, working hard, going and saying, I'm going to go to what it still is one of the greatest cities in this country, if not the world. I'm going to go to New York and I'm going to live there and I'm going to work hard and I'm going to live with six people in a tiny apartment just to get by and spend most of my paycheck on that. I do agree that it is a cost of living thing, and it is the enticement of these things that are big stresses in your life don't need to be big stresses, so we're going to give it to you. And who's going to pay for it? It's the billionaires that we're going to tax. That was the message that won those young people. No, there's no doubt about that. But I don't know that it's necessarily 100% because it's an entitled generation. I think that that could be a fallacy that could hurt conservatives going forward, because I think education about policy, about how economics work, about the role of government in your life, is a situation where if we just think, hey, they're just entitled, they're never going to get it, then you're never going to get them to vote for conservative policies and things that do work for people, that do drop prices, that have deflationary effects on housing and prices of goods. And so I don't think it's just that they expect a handout. I think that people that are there that are working hard and trying to make it, because if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
Heard that before.
Is the slogan. They're saying that they can't make it because they are working hard. They are trying to survive. They're trying to make it. And the affordability is out of control. And so what sounds nice? The billionaires are going to pay for your grocery stores and your buses, and everything is going to be great in a utopia.
Yep.
And that's the problem, is that the conservatives, especially Cuomo and Sliwa, they did not focus on what clearly the polling showed was the biggest concern of people. I know that's a concern of people here in Tennessee and around the country. Cost of living is out of control.
Yeah,
now, it's not because Republicans and billionaires are making it that way. It's because of a broken liberal policy ideology that has been going on for way too long in this country. And so if you can educate and reach out and show a better way forward and that hard work can be rewarded, I think that's a more winning path for our ideology and our values that we hold dear.
And I just watched a video, like I said, of him talking about this, and they pushed back. It was supposed to be conservatives asking him questions about the free buses and all of those kind of things, and how, and he had an answer, a compelling answer for all of them. Ones that felt very bipartisan. So if you were just looking for, can he even answer those questions? Yes. He was able to answer the questions. Now, whether they're true or not, that's a different story. Whether they're the policies actually getting put in place, that's a different story. But his team was good enough to come up with these sophisticated, yet simplistic and easy to understand answers that made you go, huh, all right, I'll get behind that instead of the lifetime politicians that we've had this whole time. Let's go ahead and continue on. We got a lot of calls coming in, only 4 minutes to try to do it. Let's go to Jeff in Virginia. Jeff, go ahead.
Hello, Logan. Thank you so much for giving me a shot. I just wanted to mention I was quite amazed that with the Mamdani election, about 30 to 35% Jewish voters supported Mamdani.
Yeah,
I think maybe many younger ones, but that's something that we need to do outreach for.
Yeah, Jeff, absolutely. I'm not shocked by this as much as maybe a lot of people are. That has been a lot of that voting base. Look, they are a very diverse multicultural base who really is always fighting against stereotypes, fighting against the fact that people will say, well, you're a Jewish supporter, you're a supporter of Israel, you can't, you know, befriend a Muslim person or something like that. And they will fight against it at every level. And some of it I totally understand and I agree with. However, it goes too far. But definitely that younger group that has been changed a bit in terms of their support for things like Israel, including even with the Jewish community, I'm not surprised. And in the older group, I mean, you had a lot of the celebrities coming out, the Jewish celebrities saying, go vote for Mamdani. So I'm not surprised, Jeff. It's a different kind. It's one you can't just pigeonhole as a voting base. So I get it. We got to quickly, though, move on. Stacy's calling, who's an ACLJ champion in Florida. You're on the air, Stacy.
Hi, I know this is off topic, but thanks for taking my call. I was wondering what your guys' thoughts are about the gubernatorial race in Florida next year. I haven't seen Ron DeSantis endorse anybody. I know Byron Donalds is probably the front runner, but do you guys have any thoughts on that?
Well, one, Stacy, typically the incumbent, when they are leaving office, and there is going to be a primary process, would not endorse someone in the primary process. I mean, that's just tradition. Obviously, rules have been broken and traditions have been broken. So I almost would not expect to see the governor of Florida endorse a Republican in the primary phase as to not try and interfere with the party politics. He won through a primary process, and that is a way to also vet the candidates and get who they believe is the best candidate to the forefront. But you can guarantee that whoever wins that nomination, the governor would then endorse his replacement.
On the other side, I saw this week you had Orange County Mayor Jerry Demings, who, you know, Val Demings, his wife, has been around the Orlando area for decades now and has been the mayor of Orange County for a number of years. He announced his run as the Democrat. These aren't people you need to not pay attention to. They are longtime Florida voters. Have you seen those names for most of their lives? Now, has it turned more red in recent years? Of course. But don't, you know, Florida is its own thing, and it always will be. We have 1 minute. I want to take Doug real quick. Doug, go ahead. You got about 30 seconds.
All right, guys. I'm going to go straight to Mamdani. It's a compelling argument he makes with some of this stuff. If you've never been taught basic economics. Absolutely. I mean, all of us that remember the Soviet Union, the Soviet Union imploded because of some of the policies he wants to put into place.
Look, one of the guys, Doug, that he said, unfortunately, was it Will?
Yeah, well, he said, this is the nation that defeated the Soviet Union,
sadly.
Unfortunately.
Sadly.
Yeah. I also saw Condoleezza Rice on Fox News this morning saying that exact same thing, Doug, is that Americans at that age see it as the failed experiment of the Soviet Union, but they don't understand the atrocities and the hardship of people's lives under that failed experiment.
Yeah, go talk to a lot of your friends in Florida and you'll find out. Okay, thank you so much for watching the show today, listening, however you do get this broadcast. We appreciate it when you get a podcast on the radio, however it is. But right now, go to ACLJ.org. All donations are doubled. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Seculo. But right now, scan that QR code or go to ACLJ.org.